This week's Sedra is Parshas Mishpatim. Towards the beginning of the Sedra, the Torah tells us in Shmos, Parakof Aleph, Pasuk Tesvav, Umake Ovi V'ima Mos Yumos, that a person who strikes his father or his mother is subject to the death penalty. Mos Yumos, he's put to death. This is considered a capital offense, and it's one of the averus which you get the Mises Bezin. Torah doesn't specify which type of Mises Bezin. We know there are Arba Mises Bezin, and so actually based on this Pasuk as a source, the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Pei Dalma Beis says, whenever the Torah tells us Mos Yumos and doesn't specify which type of misa, so stam misa is bechenek, whatever chenek is, a form of strangulation. So in any event, the person who strikes his father or his mother is subject to the misa of chenek, misa's bezin, umake, avivim, mos yumos. The truth is, there's an issa to strike anybody, not allowed to hit any person. That Chazal learned out from a pasuk much later in the Chumash and Chumash Dvarim, Perek Chaf Hei, Pasuk Gimel. The Torah tells us there they're talking about somebody who is deserving of malchus, somebody whom the bezin is supposed to strike. That's the din. They're supposed to give him lashes, and the Torah says there, but there's a limit. You can't just give the guy an unlimited amount of lashes. The limit is the pasuk says Arboim Yakenu. You can beat him. You can strike him 40 times. Chazal learned out, so it's not 40 times. It's 39 times. Sometimes it can be less than that, depending upon what the person can tolerate physically. The Mishnah is more described that the person is assessed as to what he could tolerate, but the maximum number is Arboim Yakenu, no more than 40 Malkas. Again, we say that it means 39, and the Torah says, Lo Yosef, you're not allowed to add even one more. You can't beat the person even one more time. Pen Yosef, because if you do, so you're giving the person more than he can take and more than he deserves. You can actually end up killing the person, and this is not what he deserves. He deserves only the number of Malkas that the Torah says, and it says Arboim Yakenu, which means 39. 39 times, no more, Lo Yosef. So, even the bezin is not allowed to strike a person more than the halacha permits. So certainly another person, a stama person, not bezin, this is a person who deserves malchus, he gets the number of malchus the Torah allows and no more, lo yosef. So then certainly a regular person can't strike somebody else, even one time. You have no right to hit another person. And actually the Yerushalmi learns, Rashi quotes there in Chumash, that pasuk constitutes the azhara, the warning for the punishment that's mentioned here in our pasuk. Again, if you look carefully here in Parshas Mishpatim, it just tells us what the punishment is. It says, Umake avivim mos yumos. The punishment is misa, but it never says, the Torah never says you're not allowed to do it. Where's the warning? Where's the azhara? Where you usually have to have an azhara, you have to have a warning stating that something is also before you tell the punishment. Here it just tells the punishment. So the Yerushalmi says, and Rashi over there in Parshas Kisetze quotes in Chumash, that that's the warning. The azhara is that pasuk of Lo Yosef. You're not allowed to strike somebody more than once. You're not allowed to strike your parent also. That's the Azara for this Isser. The difference is, again, that when it comes to another person, it doesn't bring about the death penalty if I strike another person. So there are dinim of Chovo B'Chaver, depending on the type of damage and so on, but there's no Chi of Misa. With the parent, there's a Chi of Misa. Just as an aside, the truth is, you're not even allowed to raise your hand to strike another person. That's also wrong. The beginning of Chumash Shmos, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he goes out to see the Jews for the first time, in the Parak Beis of Shmos, it says in Pasuk Gid Gimel that he sees two Jews fighting. So it says, "Vayomer lo rosha lama sakereyecha." So one person's about to strike another. One Jew's about to strike the other, and Moshe calls him a rosha. So the Gemara elsewhere in Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Ches, the Gemara says, you see that a person who just raises his hand to strike another person is already considered to be a Rosha. So you're not allowed to raise your hand to strike another person. You're not allowed to hit another person. Even Bezin can't hit another person more than a certain number of times. And you're not allowed to strike your parents. The unique din about the parents is if you strike a parent, so then it brings about the Chi of Misa. It's a capital offense. Question is, what exactly does it mean to strike a parent? You're allowed to hit a parent, and it brings about a capital punishment. What is the, what are the gedarim there? What if I slap him in the face, or I punch him in the arm, or something like that? Is that enough to bring about the death penalty? So the psukim aren't clear, but the Chazal derive, and that same sugya in Sanhedrin, Pei Dalam Adbeis, that in fact, it has to be that you create a chabura, you create some kind of wound, you draw blood. You draw blood. Now, drawing blood doesn't mean that you make the person bleed, the way we describe it today, meaning the blood has to come out. But if the blood, you know, comes to the surface, and never comes out of the skin, but it comes to the surface, that's what we call a black and blue mark. That's also called a chabura, because again, you've drawn blood. The blood didn't come out of the body, but it came to the top, and that's considered to be a chabura. How do we know that that's true? So the pasuk in the end of Parshas Emor, in Vayikra Perek Chav Dalet, it says over there, an equation drawn, it says, Umake Behemish Almena, Umake Adam Yumos. says if you cause damage to a behemah, you have to pay, right? You have to pay the owner damages. If I cause harm to somebody's behemah. So makeh behemah, yishalmen, I have to pay. And makeh odom yuma. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin, pay Amar Beis, has an equation. It says, just like over there, the chiyuv of paying damages for harming an animal, for hitting an animal, is a chiyuv only if it draw blood. And that's learned because in earlier pasuk, in that same few pasukim earlier, in pasuk Yudches, it says, makeh nefesh behemah yishalmen. And nefesh means blood, ki adamo nefesh, Torah says in a couple of places. So there it means drawing blood. So when it comes to an animal, the chiyuv is, I'm only considered to be responsible for paying if I cause the animal harm, I hit the animal and cause blood to be drawn. So too, when it comes to makeh odom, that's the equation. Makeh behemish shamena makeh odom yumas. When is makeh odom yumas? When it's a parent, right? The other time, if I strike somebody else, we said before, it's not a chiyuv of misa, but striking a parent is a chiyuv of misa. So, but it's only under the same circumstances for which you'd be chayev if you were makeh behema. And makeh behema, based on the other pasuk of nefesh behema, that means only when you draw blood. Damo nefesh, so it's only when you draw blood. So the Gemara says the same thing is true over here when it comes to striking the parent. In order to incur the death penalty, it has to be that you drew blood. Chabur. That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The same Gemara goes on to say, but there's an exception to the rule. By behemoth as well. Let's say I draw blood from the animal because I'm trying to heal it from some wound. The animal got a nail stuck somewhere or something else that I'm a veterinarian or I know how to deal with animals and I can take this out. It's going to cause the animal to bleed. But I'm helping the animals for reform purposes, for therapeutic purposes, medicinal purposes. So there's no chiv when it comes to behemoth. So the same thing, the Gemara has the same equation, equating makeh odom to makeh behemoth, to makeh parents, to makeh behemah, the Gemara sets up this equation, so the Gemara says the same thing is true. If I'm treating a parent, let's say I'm a doctor, I'm a dentist, so I have to work on my parent, I'm not a doctor or dentist, but my parent has a splinter or something like that, so I'm helping take out the splinter, so that may cause more blood to come out, I may draw blood in doing that. A dentist probably will cause blood, from a surgeon, certainly it's going to cause blood to come out, so I might think, well, it should be also because I'm drawing blood. The answer is no, if it's done for refuah, if it's done for therapeutic purposes, then it's mutter by behemah, and mutter by parents as well. So for that reason, technically speaking, it is permissible for a son or a daughter, whatever, who is a doctor or a dentist or knows how to treat this particular situation, to treat his or her parent, father or mother, same din, even though it may end up drawing blood. However, the Gemara continues over there and mentions that certain Amoraim did not want their children, would not let their children treat them medicinally. They would go to a different doctor, a different physician. They didn't want their children. Noah gives a couple of examples. Why? So it seemed to be because you never know. Let's say this particular treatment, the doctor, the dentist, who's a child, was a little careless and drew a little more blood than was necessary. It wasn't, you know, what to draw the blood for therapeutic purposes, fine. But you can't always be so precise and so careful, so you end up causing more blood to come out. You know, it's b'shogeg. Still, it'd be better to have somebody else who's not bound by that restriction. So that's what it appears from the Gemara over there, that even though it's mutter for refuah purposes, for the child to treat the parent, and even if it means drawing blood, nonetheless, if it's avoidable, it's better to get somebody else, because you never know, you may draw too much blood. And for example, we find, you know, in the olden days, they had a practice called Hakozas Dam, letting blood, the bloodletting. They thought that if you take blood out, it could have therapeutic benefits. We're not so sure that that's medically correct today. They had the right idea, you know, and they knew that blood carries disease through the system. It's true that the person's bloodstream, you know, brings diseases. They thought if you have a disease, you take some of the blood out, you take some of the disease out too. Okay, medically we know that that's not really the case today. But in any event, let's say a son was a professional bloodletter, that physician is a doctor and knows how to do this. So some of the Amoraim did not want their children to do it, and that's what the Rambam brings in Hilchos Mamrim. That's where he discusses Hilchos Mamrim, is where the Rambam discusses the relationship between children and parents, all the din of Kibbut Aveim and Mora Aveim and so on. I mentioned over there in Hilchos Mamrim. So there the Rambam tells us in the Perek HaAloch HaZayin, the Rambam says that it's not proper for a child to treat the parent, even though technically it's mutter, it's better to avoid it. And that same din is presented in the Shulchan Aruch, Yoredeisim Reish Mem Aleph Siv Gimel. The Shulchan Aruch says that it's not right that a child should not be the one to treat the parent if the parent has some kind of a condition, because he may end up drawing more blood than absolutely necessary. Unless, of course, there's nobody else available, so you don't let the parent suffer. Then the child has no choice but to do it. He'll be as careful as he can be. It's a shogeg, obviously, but if there's somebody else just as good who could take care of it, it's better for the other person to take care of it. That is the That's the din as it appears in the Shulchan Aruch. There's an interesting question. Rosi Pesach Frank, one of his chuvas in Chelak Yerodeh in Kuf Tzadi Zayin, was asked the following question. You have a child who's a physician, and he's ready to treat the parent, but he doesn't want to treat the parent because of this din in the Shulchan Aruch. So he's going to get a different doctor who's also qualified to treat the parent. Yeah, but the second doctor is going to charge. So now who has to pay? Who has to pay? Does the father have to pay, or does the son have to pay? What do you mean? Shouldn't the father have to pay? Because the Gemara tells us in Kiddushin, on the Flamin Aleph and Beis, the Gemara tells us that there, first of all, the Gemara discusses what exactly is meant altogether by Kibbut of Aim, right? What does it mean to honor your parents? What does that mean? Is that just a mental attitude? Just as a side point, it looks like it also is a mental attitude. That's at a Sefer Charedim, and others write the Sefer Charedim is a Sefer written by Rabbi Elazar Azkari, who was a contemporary of the Beis Yosef and of the Arizal and Tzvat and so on. So he wrote a Sefer HaMitzvahs, where he divides all the mitzvahs into the things that were done, into the part of the body, which part of the body the mitzvah is done by. So he has mitzvahs, this mitzvah is done in the head, and this mitzvah is done by the arm, and this mitzvah is done with the leg. So he has mitzvahs that are belev, and he counts kibbut av aim as a mitzvah done belev, because he holds part of the mitzvah is to have a positive attitude, to think very highly of your parents, to hold your parents in high regard. That's part of the mitzvah. But besides that, the Gemara gives certain specific guidelines, what is meant by kibbut av aim. So you have to provide the parent with drink, you have to provide him with food, other things that are mentioned. But then the Gemara says on the top of the next omen, who pays for it? Who has to pay? Yes, the child has to give the has to give the kibbutz to the parent, but who has to pay for it? My father tells me, go get him a cup of coffee, go pick up a bagel, go get stuff from the cleaners, go to the grocery store. So that's kibbutz. I have to listen. But who has to pay? So the Gemara concludes, Mishalov, right? So the father has to pay. The son has to provide the service, but the father is the one who has to pay. So the chor over here, why should the son have to pay? So Jesus Frank gives an interesting tzir, an interesting example, and actually that example seems to have taken place. The example he gives is that sometimes if a father, I'll tell you what actually took place. In the Sefer Ishim Veshitos, the Sefer Ishim Veshitos was a Sefer written among many other Sarim by Rav Zevin, Zichron Livracha. Rav Zevin, the Sefer Ishim Veshitos, has a biography of seven or eight Gedolei Torah of the late 1800s, including Rav Chaim Soloveitcher, Rav Chaim Brisker. So he tells a story there that Rav Chaim was, I guess, in Volozhin. So a certain student had gotten the letter from his father. His father wanted him to come back home. He needs him to take care of him and so on. So the son wrote back to the father, okay, send me a train ticket. I'll be happy to come back and take care of you. So the father went back, never mind, go, just come back, and I want you to come back. So the boy went to Reb Chaim and said, listen, the Gemara says, Mishal, all right, I'm a chuyuf to go back to my parent, but he has to pay for it. I don't have to pay for the train ticket, right? So the way the story is presented, Reb Chaim said, you're absolutely right. Okay, your father does not, you do not have to pay. Your father wants you to come back, you have to go back, but you don't have to pay for the train ticket. You can walk home. Oh, it's very far for you to walk, so for your convenience, you want to take a train? That's your business. So that's not the father's responsibility. You want to take the train because it's easier for you. That's got nothing to do with the keep it off aim. So the different versions of what Reb Chaim meant, either he was just telling the boy, don't be ridiculous. Your father wants you to go back, then go back. You'll worry about the money a different time. Or he meant the halacha. See, Pesach Frank tells a story like that or sets up a tzir like that without telling this particular story, that maybe it's taka true halacha. Maybe the fact is that the child, he really should treat the father, but he wants to be choshish for this din in the Shulchan Aruch and be careful not to do it. That's his business. So the father doesn't have to pay. The father wouldn't be charged by the child. The father would do it for free. I'm sorry, the child would do the treatment for free. So why should the father now have to lose money just because the child wants to protect himself from violating his sister? That's the child's business. So he has to pay himself. That's what Pastor Frank suggests. That's a possibility that maybe the child should have to pay for the service. That's in that tshuva, Yerodei Chilik Yerodei There are other considerations, just to wrap up. The fact is that one might suggest that it's true that the father should, the son shouldn't treat the father, but if the father wants dafka for the son to treat the child, sometimes he prefers that. I know when my mother-in-law, Alea Sharon, was very ill, so my wife is a nurse, so my mother-in-law was convinced that her daughter is the best nurse who ever lived, and maybe she is, but she only wanted her daughter to treat it, because she said, stop a nurse, won't be as careful, and they won't be as loving or as caring as her own daughter. She preferred that her daughter should give her the shots and give her the treatment and so on, and didn't want somebody else to do it, so then certainly that would be mutter. That's what the parent wants. Or we had a similar situation. My father, Anna Karpova, Paras Mishkova, was sick. So that may not be the same with the father-in-law, but just as an example, so when he was sick, So I don't think he cared necessarily that my wife should do it or a different nurse or a different doctor should do it. He was willing to go somewhere else. But to go somewhere else, we would have to schlep into New York for a couple of hours and sit in a doctor's office in Mamish a whole day, you know, to get treated. Like this, my wife brought this stuff with her back from where she was working, and the whole thing took 10 minutes. So that preference also in such a case that it's, you know, that's what the parent wants. But in general, a child should be careful, and probably it's better for a child not to be the one to treat the parent, unless dafka, that's what the parent wants, then we would honor the parent's wishes in that regard. Have a good day.